Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at IronSharpensIronRadio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Tuesday on this 12th day of March 2024. Before I introduce today's guest and topic, I want to remind you that this Friday, March 15th, at 7 p.m. at the Coral House Catering Hall on Baldwin, Long Island, I will be emceeing once again the Grace Christian Academy of Long Island's fundraising gala, and I hope as many of you in my listening audience as possible will attend that, especially those who live on and near Long Island, New York. The keynote speaker at this event will be my friend Dr. Ernie Zara, who is an internationally known educator and author, and I hope that you all will also view the Grace Christian Academy, which is a classical Christian school on Long Island affiliated with Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Long Island. I hope you will view that as a worthy cause to support it with your finances. But I hope to see as many of you as possible this Friday, March 15th, 7 p.m. at the Coral House Catering Hall, Baldwin, Long Island, New York, when I will be emceeing that fundraising gala. And if you want more details, go to gcali.com. That's GCA for Grace Christian Academy, LI for Long Island.com. gcali.com/gala, G-A-L-A. Hope to see you Friday. But I'm very thrilled to have a first-time guest today on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. His name is Dr. Daniel A. Biddle, president of Genesis Apologetics. And today we're going to be addressing something that is both a book and a soon-to-be-released film in theaters on March 20th and 21st, The Ark and the Darkness, Unearthing the Mysteries of Noah's Flood. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Dan Biddle.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm excited to be on your show.
Why don't you tell us, our listeners, about Genesis Apologetics?
Yeah, so I'm the president of Genesis Apologetics. We are a student-focused ministry that focuses on equipping students to handle the evolution teaching that they receive through the world, through public school, through museums, and the like. We equip them to understand that the natural reading of the early chapters of Genesis constitute real history. And we give them evidence why evolution isn't true and why creation is. So most of our resources are free online, and we have a YouTube channel with about 20 million some views on it and almost 200,000 subscribers that enjoy our videos. Most of our videos are very short, 5 to 15 minute long videos that provide very compelling evidence of the historicity of Genesis and creation, and then show the weaknesses of evolution teaching.
Great. Well, if anybody needs more details about this wonderful ministry, go to GenesisApologetics.com, GenesisApologetics.com. Well, before we get into a promotion of and an exploration of your book and the movie that's coming out on the Ark and the Darkness, I would love to hear a summary of your salvation testimony, as I inform you before the show. Whenever we have a first-time guest on Iron Trip and Zion Radio, we have that guest give a summary of how they were saved by the mercy and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, including a background of what kind of religious atmosphere, if any, in which you were raised, and what kind of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in your life that drew you to himself and saved you. So let's hear your story.
Yeah, gosh, what a great thing that you do with your guests. So I was raised in a middle class suburban type of home here in California. With a together home, my mom, dad, and brother, and would occasionally go to church as a Christian. My mom was probably more into her faith than my dad was at the time. So I would go to church occasionally, maybe Christmas, Easter, and a few other times. But I didn't receive Christ personally until I went to a junior high ranch camp, kind of a horse camp thing, when I was 11 years old, and heard the message, and Christ compelled me to say the sinner's prayer. And I was regenerate that night. And I do believe that it takes God to know God. And I had my appointment with the Lord that evening, and I was brought to faith in Christ. And it's just been never, you know, not the same ever since. I did, however, have a rocky time after that. While I was saved at 11 years old at that camp, I basically came home, and within months of receiving Christ, my parents announced a divorce, and I went kind of wild in my teenage years. I fell away from Christ and backslid and did the teenage rebellious thing until I was about 17 years old. I repented of that crazy lifestyle and came back to Christ when I was about 17, and I'd like to think I'd be locked in with him ever since, trying to follow his trail for my life. I got married at age 21. We have four kids now, been married over 30 years, and the Lord has really blessed our family. But one color that I would add to my testimony is that, like many Christians, I wasn't sure what to do with the Genesis account. I didn't know if it was myth or allegory, or which parts should be interpreted in which way, a literal history or kind of allegorical. Until about 13 years ago or so, I heard a talk about dinosaurs and man, and I went to the talk as a skeptic. I just couldn't believe that they would let someone in church who would actually have that perspective that dinosaurs lived recently. But after I attended the talk, I was so shocked by this guy's evidence, and he had lots of it. He had theological arguments for it, and he had science evidence for it. I took about the next 90 days of my life. I bought thousands of dollars worth of books and DVDs, and I researched that topic specifically, Noah's flood and dinosaurs. I flew to Montana, I flew to Canada, and about halfway through that research journey, I came to the overwhelming conclusion that Genesis is a real historical narrative. Dinosaurs did live recently, and they were wiped out in Noah's flood. And when I went through that experience, for me, it was like being born again, and my head and my heart were able to align. And all of the areas that were incongruent with my faith and all the doubts that I had vanished away as I came to Scripture with the humility of a child and just stood under the authority of Scripture, and then realized and understood that Genesis is a real history book. And for me, it was like a rejuvenating experience.
Well, praise God. And now tell us about the circumstances that led you to the film that is going to be released in theaters later this month, coming up very shortly, actually, a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And also the companion book, The Ark and the Darkness, Unearthing the Mysteries of Noah's Flood. Obviously, as you know, there are not only quite a number of Christian books about the creation story, about many of the stories in the Old Testament that tragically many in the professed church have written off as allegories and fables and myths. But there are still, thank God, quite a number of creationists who have written books, filling the volumes, or filling the space on our library shelves. We've become very acquainted with many of these brethren who are not only creationists, but young earth creationists, and not only individuals, but quite a number of ministries and organizations who are proclaiming the truth of a young earth. And so what dawned on you that said, you know something, in spite of all the information that we already have, I need to pursue this film and book?
You know, that is such a great question, and it really gives us an insight into some nuances of theology that I trust your listeners will follow with this. But I believe I was called to do this movie in both a general way and in a specific way. In a general way, the Lord really, you know, we've all heard the statement, "Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours." And when I converted into a creationist about 12 years ago, I attended my son's back to school night for seventh grade back to school at a public school here in California. And the teacher proceeded to explain how, look, she said, "I don't want to offend you if you're Jewish or Catholic or Christian, but we have to teach evolution here in school as part of the state required curriculum. But don't worry about it. It's just a couple weeks and it's not a big deal." And as she was saying that, I was looking at her bookshelf and she had book after book on evolution. And I was reflecting about how my son said, "Well, Dad, all the Christians in her class, in this world history class, are just being formatted like hard drives. They're writing down all the notes, they're doing all the exercises, and they're clueless as to the lie that they're being taught in this school about evolution." I got so sick when I was at that school presentation because God opened my eyes to this treacherous thing that was happening to Christians that I had to walk home. I just went up and said to my wife, "Hey, I'm not feeling well. I had to walk home." And so my heart was broken that night just mourning for the millions of students across America that are being taught a lie. And they're being taught not only a lie about evolution, they're also being taught that the Bible is not true. And so that began the journey of our ministry. And when we opened the doors for our ministry, it came out of that. But then specifically, about 2.5 years ago, I had been speaking a lot about Noah's flood and dinosaurs. And it was a topic that I was very, very engaged with. And I was speaking about it a lot. So it was something that was on my forefront of my mind. And I enjoyed the topic. And we had done a video about it that was on YouTube. But about 2.5 years ago, something happened in my life where within a 2-month period, I had 4 major life events happen to me. I became an empty nester as my last kids went off to college, and that had an emotional hit on me. I lost my brother from liver disease. He passed away. My mother's cancer came back full-fledged, and she started developing tumors behind her eyes. And I had a really bad case of COVID. And it was in that dark period of 2 months when those 4 things hit me at the same time that I don't know any other way that to say it, but the Lord commissioned me to do this flood film. I had all kinds of things happen in my life, and I won't get into the details because Christians sometimes get a little bit spooked when you say that God can break in and give you assignments. But I have to honestly say that the Lord broke into my life, and using the means that only God can do, he made it very clear to me that he wanted me to do this movie. And so I joined with my associate, Ralph Strand from Sevenfold Films, who is equally passionate about the flood and had just done an award-winning movie on the creation account. And we began this journey together, and we've poured hundreds of thousands of dollars into it in 2.5 years and thousands of hours collectively into this project. And it's coming out to theaters on March 20th and 21st.
Oh, well, praise God. And I want to, right off the bat here, I want to give our email address out to our listeners in the event that they would like to submit questions of their own. Our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside of the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. That's chrisarnzen@gmail.com. A personal and private matter in this case, because of the topic we are addressing, might be that perhaps you are a member of a church that holds to an old earth position, and you are in disagreement with your own pastors or your own elders, or maybe your own denomination over this, and you'd rather not identify yourself. Or maybe you're even the pastor yourself, and you disagree perhaps even with your fellow elders and your denomination over something that we are addressing today. Well, we understand that those would be reasons to remain anonymous, but if you're just asking a general question, please give us your first name, city and state, and country of residence if you live outside of the good old USA. One thing that I would like to ask you, do you see any evidence at all of representatives of the scientific world, the scientific realm, where even those that do not share our belief in the inerrancy of scriptures, they may not be Christians, they may be, or they may be nominal Christians, or they may be members of different religions, or perhaps they're atheists, agnostics, as many scientists are. Do you see any significant move away from Darwinian evolution?
The short answer to that is yes. In fact, there is a website, I believe it's called Darwin Dissenters, where over 1,000 PhD level scientists have given their dissent from Darwin's ideas. So I think there's two things happening right now in science that are absolute. Well, let me make it three things happening in science that are absolutely making the death knell to evolution theory. The first would be scientists have now really highlighted and come to grips with the fact that they can't answer the most basic and fundamental question to evolution, which is how did non-living matter become alive? That's become to the forefront. There are molecular engineers and scientists and organic chemists that are going crazy trying to answer this question right now, and they can't do it. And that's because it's an unanswerable question, because the Bible's very clear, God did it, and it takes a supernatural miracle to do that. The second thing is that scientists are now understanding what's called epigenetics, which is a system that we have pre-programmed in our DNA, in our gene code, that allows each animal kind, for example, finches or many other different types of animals, to continuously read and track their environment and make adaptations and changes to fit the environment in which they live. And for example, just recently, a study came out where they studied over 1,000 of, quote, Darwin's finches, you know, one of the finch species that Darwin used to espouse his theory of evolution. They tracked 1,000 of them and realized that in just one generation, they can seriously modify their beak shape and size and their feet morphology based upon their diet and their environment in one single generation. So that finding alone really debunks Darwin's core ideas that evolution happens over millions of years and animals can vertically evolve from one creature to the other, because all they're allowed to do really is change within their kind. And I think the third death knell that they can't do anything about is dinosaur soft tissue. If you were to rewind the history reels just 50 years, and I'm not kidding when I say this, it's going to sound provocative and extreme, but I can back this statement up with mounds of scholarly articles and evidence. But 50 years ago, here's a statement, 100% of trained, qualified paleontologists would have said that dinosaur bones are fossilized, hardened, permineralized rocks that are impressions of what used to be bones, but they're now just rocks. 100% of paleontologists would have said that 50 years ago.
Even young Earth paleontologists would have said that? I'm assuming there were some.
Certainly not those, but so secular paleontologists would definitely have said that. But clearly the leading prevailing thought in paleontology was that these dinosaur fossils are just rocks. But now what do we have? in 2024, and again, here's an emphatic statement, 0 of 100 secular trained paleontologists can now make that statement by their own admission, by their own science journals, without even referencing a single creationist journal. 100 out of 100 paleontologists now have to admit, based upon 122 peer-reviewed science journals and secular publications, that dinosaur bones have 16 different varieties of bioorganic tissues still in them that shouldn't be there if they're millions of years old, but they are. And it's an ironclad case for both creation and the recent demise in the flood, and it completely debunks the idea that they lived millions of years ago.
Now, although I am very opposed, very aggressively so, to the woke movement and the cancel culture and all that kind of thing in that realm of leftist ideology, I am shocked that still, to my knowledge, none of these folks, or at least none of the folks that I'm aware of in the limelight, unless you could correct me, have brought up the fact that Charles Darwin was clearly a racist. And what a lot of people don't know, and it really is frustrating when you hear sometimes on talk shows a dialogue and a disagreement between a liberal and a conservative, perhaps even a conservative Christian, over the issue of evolution. A lot of times the conservatives don't even bring up this fact that Darwin's book, On the Origin of the Species, it was originally titled, the full title is, or was, On the Origin of the Species by Means of Natural Selection, or the Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. And Hitler and the Nazis made great use of this false science, this fake science, and so on. Have you heard about any significant number of people starting to rise up and saying, wait a minute, this stuff that we take for granted as fact, this Darwinian evolution stuff, it's not even a theory in most people's minds when they're talking about it in documentaries and so on. It's a fact. Is there a significant number or any number of people that you're aware of who are starting to reveal or unveil the fact that this is actually rooted in racism?
You know, yes to both. And the good news is that website I mentioned is called descentfromdarwin.org. And it's the title of the website is just called A Scientific Descent from Darwinism. And it's over 1,000 scientists who actually have given their video testimony that they no longer believe in Darwin's theory of evolution. Isn't that incredible?
Oh, yeah.
And when you go back and look at Darwin's original work, not only did he teach from a racist standpoint, I mean, again, just look at the title of his book, as you just mentioned, you know, not only is that true, but if you go back, his works were deeply rooted in the Nazi movement. A colleague of mine, Dr. Jerry Bergman, who has several PhDs, a brilliant guy, I think he's even in Mensa, he wrote a book connecting Darwinism to the Nazi movement, and it's really undeniable. From a scholarly perspective, the seeds and the DNA that infused the Nazi movement was based on Darwin's ideas. So it is a scary thing, but sadly, a lot of scientists today, they just try to shuck that underneath the rug there, and just focus on, well, his ideas were valid scientifically, and they try to filter out the racist concepts, but they were very much racist ideologies.
By the way, I have interviewed Dr. Jerry Bergman, and you just reminded me I've got to get him back on the program because it's been... it's been eight, no, let's see, how many years? It's been 7 years since I've had him on the program, almost 7 years to the day. Had him on in April of 2017. So I got to try to get him back on the program. If anybody wants to look up that interview that we did on how Darwinianism, or Darwinism, I should say, how Darwinism corrodes morality, you could just type in Bergman in the search engine at irontrippinsironradio.com, B as in boy, E-R-G-M-A-N, and you will see that interview pop up immediately. Let me see, what time is it? Well, I'm going to go to a break before I go to any of the listener questions that have already come in. And if anybody would like to join us, as I said earlier, please send in an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Armored Republic exists to equip free men with tools of liberty to defend God-given rights against the twin threats of tyranny and chaos. If you own a rifle to resist tyrants and criminals, then you should own body armor and a med kit for the same reasons. A rifle stops evil, body armor and a med kit keep you in the fight and preserve your life. Armored Republic is a body of free craftsmen united to create tools of liberty. We are honored to be your armorsmith of choice. Civilian ownership of body armor is about increasing decentralized power and, by comparison, reducing the advantages of centralized power. The danger of centralized power is often represented by the word king. As Americans, we hate the word king applied to any mere man. We are Armored Republic. And in a republic, there is no king but Christ. Arm yourself with tools of liberty at armoredrepublic.com.
Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. And now, they're also shipping worldwide. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online worldwide at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 717-249-0231. That's 717-249-0231. For orders of $50 or more, use promo code IRON for an extra 5% off their already discounted prices. And please, let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this mind-blowing opportunity. They are giving Iron Sharpens Iron Radio 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry as long as an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener mentions Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. They are giving us 100% of the profits from a sale of jewelry that's already in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or perhaps you're having a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry created, like an engagement ring, or perhaps you're taking church logo, parachurch ministry logo, seminary logo, denomination logo, and turning it into a pendant for a necklace or a ring, or anything else your imagination and creativity can conjure up in your mind. They will take what's in your mind and turn it into a mind-blowing and breathtaking piece of jewelry, and we will get 100% of the profits from that as long as you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And keep in mind, that's on top of the monthly generous financial support that RoyalDiadem.com already automatically provides. So this is in addition to the financial support that they already have been providing for us for quite a while. And we thank God for their generosity, for loving this show so much that they want to add to what they are currently spending and generously giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So please, if you have any intention to purchase jewelry for yourself or someone you love, I'm urging you to go to RoyalDiadem.com today to at least get the ball rolling on your purchase. And don't forget to mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. The reason why I'm urging you to do so today is because we have no idea when RoyalDiadem.com is going to pull the plug on this phenomenal offer to us where we get 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener. So please go to RoyalDiadem.com today and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with Dan Biddle of the wonderful organization Genesis Apologetics, and we are discussing not only creationism in general, but we are also promoting the book and the film coming out by Dan Biddle, The Ark and the Darkness, Unearthing the Mysteries of Noah's Flood. And we do have some listener questions for you already. We have Lou from Sharpsburg, Georgia. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Why do Christians like Gavin Ortlund and others claim Noah's flood was only a local flood when the Bible is so clear that every high hill under the heavens was covered up to 18 cubits? Thanks. That's disappointing to hear that Gavin has that view. He has written some wonderful things, especially devotionals and so on. Are you aware of this view of Gavin Ortlund's, or do you want to just respond in general to old earth creationists' arguments in about a local flood rather than global?
Yes, certainly. I think I'm not aware of Gavin's view specifically. However, it is a widely held perspective amongst old earth creationists that the flood was local. We, of course, disagree for two sets of reasons. The first would be a theological biblical reason, and the second would be a scientific reason. Let's start with the lesser of those two, which is the scientific reason. I think for a person like myself or anyone else who's got some time invested in studying the flood, on the creationist perspective, it's not just moderately persuasive, it's overwhelmingly convincing that the flood was worldwide in nature. I think the two most key evidences for that would be the large packages of strata and sedimentary layers that are across continents. In America, there are the same packages of strata that cover several states, and some of those large packages will even go across multiple continents. So that would be the first set of reasons. The other reason would be that we have Dr. Tim Clary from the Institute for Creation Research has exhaustively studied 1,800 oil core boreholes around the world and can clearly establish that there are six different they're called SLOSS, S-L-O-S-S, mega sequences that are all around the world that are correlated that show that there were, in fact, six stages to the inundation of Noah's flood. So those are two of the big geological reasons. I think I would add a paleontological reason with that, which would be the fossil record is expansive and it's also correlated. We can put the continents back together, match them back together, and we can see the same types of creatures and plants on matching sides or edges of the continents when they put them back together. So we know that the flood rapidly spread them apart. Theologically is, of course, the higher level to go to. And I think the reason that the flood had to be worldwide from a theological perspective is first, the biblical script is not just somewhat clear. It's exhaustively clear that the flood was worldwide. You have the passage of scripture that your listener mentioned. It's actually 15 cubits, not 18 cubits, but 15 cubits. The water span over the highest hills by 15 cubits, which is at least 22 feet. So why would God give us that clear hint in scripture that the water prevailed over the highest hills all over the world? And then secondly, there's not just a dozen or two. There's 60 different all-encompassing words used in the Genesis account, like all the creatures are going to die. Everything under heaven is going to be judged. And then I think you have the other interesting thing where the reason for the flood is God said, look, all of man's thoughts in his heart are evil continually. And that was the driving reason that God sent the flood. He says, for that reason, I'm going to flush it. I'm going to hit the reset button. God says, I will destroy them with the earth. So God says, I'm going to use the earth as a tool to recycle these bad humans. And he, you know, judges the entire earth. So you can't have the flood be a local judgment for a local group of people to say, yeah, well, these people in this region, they're really bad. And so it's going to be a hard day for those guys. I'm going to wipe them all out. But all the other humans around the world, they're going to get a pass. I'll worry about them some other day. No, that's not God was saying. He was saying that all flesh on earth had corrupted itself. All the thoughts of man were evil continually, and therefore I will destroy them with the earth. So you have all kinds of scientific and biblical reasons to support a worldwide flood. The reason that that the old earthers need a local flood is that they don't believe that their geology perspective and their fossil perspective fits with a worldwide flood, so they need it to just be local. So those are some reasons, though, that I believe in a worldwide flood and not a local one.
Now, what would be the compelling evidence in the mind of a Christian, not just a professing Christian or a nominal Christian, but a genuine Christian who is an old earth advocate, especially one who is a scientist, a paleontologist, a geologist? What would be the compelling reason in their mind that they would think science prohibits a historical global flood? I'm kind of having a hard time. I've always had a hard time understanding why the passionate disagreement exists amongst old earth folk saying, oh, there couldn't have been a global flood. Why not? I'm just not getting it.
Well, There's two ways to view the fossil record. One way would be to say that it's the result of a 371-day worldwide flood, a watery inundation. Then there's the ice age, and then there's a lot of ice age flooding that led to, let's say, a second massive set of fossils that are deposited in places like in Alaska when you have a lot of the woolly mammoths and everything rapidly buried. Those woolly mammoths are buried on top of flood layers. So we have a lot of the the Ice Age creatures were buried in catastrophic flooding with the Ice Age, but then you've got the flood layers that was responsible for wiping out all life on the planet outside of the Ark, basically, except for, of course, the insects and the fish, because the flood was a judgment against all air-breathing, land-dwelling creatures that breathe in life through their nostrils, but through their nasal passages. The old Earth Christian would say, no, I see a staggered progression of different creatures vertically evolving, or I see different sets of creatures that would exist for a while in one epoch, and then it gets wiped out, and then millions of years later, God starts life again with another set or family of organisms that live for a while, and he wipes those ones out. And they would see it as a progressive stages with millions of years tucked and sandwiched in between all those stages, whereas a creationist views the fossil record and says, look, there's only three ways to explain a fossil when you see it buried in mud. Either it's from a recent local flood, or it's part of the massive assemblage of fossils that were buried during the Ice Age flooding, or it was from Noah's flood. And the dinosaurs, for example, fit perfectly in Noah's flood, where we're very, very convinced, based upon the nature and the extent of the burial, that the dinosaurs went extinct during the flood, save about 80 different types of dinosaurs that were aboard the Ark at the family level. So those are some of the key reasons why the old earthers would want to have a local flood.
Now, do old earth scientists, those that are Christian, agree with the young earth scientists that the reason we have fossils is because this animal and plant life was instantly entombed by a huge amount of mud, earth, and so on, rather than, I can even remember as a young kid in grammar school, which was interestingly a Catholic parochial school. I was Catholic before I became a born-again believer. We were taught Darwinian evolution in the science class. And we were taught that fossils like took, you know, millions of years or whatever to form. And that doesn't even make any sense, because you're not going to have an impression like that even exist if it was taking a long period of time to form. Like when animals die every day and you don't see fossils all over the place. Am I making sense here?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. I mean, it's interesting that they're gonna look at that information, and yeah, they would agree with that some pockets of the fossil record are going to be from Noah's flood. But they need to stretch time out as long as basically evolutionists do. A lot of old Earth creationists are going to have that same, this hold to the same timeline as the Darwinian perspective, which is interesting because I think that's one of the reasons that they're not as hotly contested as creationists are, because to the honest scientists, they could view an old Earth creationist as basically adhering to their secular timeline. Whereas us creationists have a much harder road to go, because they know we're directly opposed to their view, citing, you know, of course, with the biblical record.
Now, do secular scientists, evolutionists, still claim that a gradual long period of time for fossils to form, or do they, you know, pretty much understand that this had to be a fairly quick covering of mountains of earth?
You know, I would say that when, let's just take one major example. For example, there's what's called the Cretaceous Interior Seaway. It's a large section right in the middle of America where what the record shows is that we've got huge deposits of dinosaurs and marine life buried in, across multiple states in the middle of America. And they would say that that happened slowly over millions of years, or it used to be an ancient seaway, and lots of creatures died there in different sporadic and periodic events, and eventually led to the big fossil record that we see there. Whereas a creationist is going to look at something like the Morrison Formation and say, wait a second, it's a 13-state region representing 600,000 square miles, and it's 300 feet thick, and it's filled with every known species that had that lived in the Jurassic, they would say the Jurassic era, we would say the Jurassic habitat that was buried during the year-long flood. But it's so obvious when your eyes are open and you can see that 13-state expanse that you've got marine life and land creatures all buried together in a 300-foot-thick pancake that's spread out over 13 states, and it's filled with dozens of different varieties of dinosaurs mixed up with marine life. Of course, that was a worldwide flood. So when you look at the same data, they're going to put on their glasses and view it through a certain lens, and we're going to put on our biblical glasses and view it from reality, because God, who is present, gave us a record of how to see that data.
By the way, Lou from Sharpsburg, I forgot to mention, you have won a free copy of the book, The Ark and the Darkness, Unearthing the Mysteries of Noah's Flood. Thank you for the question. When you were mentioning before about all these scientists who have renounced Darwinian evolution and yet are not even Christian, don't even believe in the inerrancy of the scripture, they're basing their views purely on science. Are they coming along to also view the fossil record the same way that you described? Or are they also coming along to view the Earth as much younger?
You know, that is the sad thing, because we see a lot of conversions happen three ways. Now, in three stages, let me just speak from experience on this. What I see a lot from people who are coming out of the more highly educated people who have degrees in science or are science-minded or seem to be very analytical or very well-educated coming through the finest institutions in America, and they get saved, what happens is they're fully indoctrinated in their secular beliefs about origins and fossils. Then they'll get saved, and if it's a real conversion, then the Holy Spirit will begin regenerating their mind and their heart, and they'll start going through the process of sanctification. And then somewhere down the line, if they're prayerful and humble, they will reconsider their perspective on origins. And eventually, many will become creationists. However, what we find also is a lot of the times people get converted, meaning just regenerate. They get saved, they get born again, and they never really firmly or thoroughly revisit their secular upbringing and training, and thereby challenge their beliefs. And so that area of their faith never really gets opened up to the light. They leave it in darkness. They just leave it with how the secular world has trained them to be. What happened with me is that I submitted under the authority of Scripture. I brought childlike faith to the situation. I was really troubled with the Earth being young or old or whatever it's going to be. But it was only after I brought a level of humility to Scripture and stood under the authority of God's teaching, it was then that God metaphorically handed me a key and said, "Here you go, son. Why don't you take a trip up to Canada and Montana?" And what I did, I took the cover off of fossils and Noah's flood and dinosaurs, and it became very real to me that God's word is true all the way back from the beginning book of Genesis. But yeah, it does take a long time for people to convert sometimes to creationists. For me, it took about 3 months, but man, I'm glad I did.
When we come back, I wanted to ask you more specifically about those scientists, however, that have rejected Darwinianism and yet have remained atheists and not convinced at all of the Bible. When we return from our midway break, please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the contact information for as many of our advertisers as you can, because they are what is keeping this program on the air through their financial support. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We are devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Avino, and thanks for listening.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnson is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Chris Arnson here, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I strongly recommend a church I've been recommending as far back as the 1980s, Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. They endeavor to maintain a God-centered focus and to protect worship from the intrusion of carnal entertainments and distractions. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbc-nj.org. That's gcbc-nj.org. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please remember, folks, solid-ground-books.com is a primary, a premier, a vital financial supporter of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. So please, I'm urging you, if you've never purchased a book from solid-ground-books.com, please go to that website today and make your first purchase. And even if you are a regular customer of solid-ground-books.com, maybe you even purchase books every month from them, please make today your largest purchase than ever before if you can afford to do so. And always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Keep in mind, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by buying books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing books an enormous favor of incalculable value by giving them books that are nothing but the finest in Christian literature, dating back to the 16th century Protestant Reformation and extending forward to our current day, including such modern authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So visit solid-ground-books.com today. Visit that site frequently, purchase generously. Always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnson of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to Dan Biddle, I just have a couple of important announcements to make. If you love this show and you don't want it to disappear, folks, please, I'm urging you, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it is your church, your parachurch ministry, your business, your professional private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event, no matter what it is, as long as it is compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So please go to, or should I say, send me an email to chrisarnson at gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, always remember, I never want anybody in my audience giving less money to their own church than they normally give their own church on the Lord's Day in order to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Never do that. And if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you send us a financial gift. The Bible's very clear that we're primarily to use the money with which he has blessed us to provide for our church and our family. And providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is obviously not a command of God. But if you do love this show and you have extra money above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, please use some of that money to help us keep on the air if indeed you love the show. Go to IronSharpensIronRadio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you're not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, no matter where you live in the world, I have extensive lists of biblically faithful churches spanning the globe, and I've helped many people in our audience all over the planet Earth find churches, sometimes even within just a couple of minutes from where they live. And that may be you, too, if you're without a biblically faithful church home. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to my guest, Dan Biddle. And that is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. Dan, as I was saying before the break, I was wondering if any of those scientists who have come to abandon and refute and denounce Darwinian evolution, even if they are atheists, agnostics, completely secular, have any of them through exclusively scientific means also come to at least a younger understanding of the age of the earth and agree with other things that young earth scientists have come to see are true from the scientific evidence?
That is such a fantastically framed question, because I caught a key phrase that you put in there. You says through scientific means alone have they ever come to that conclusion. So I'll just start from a bigger perspective, because I get asked this question all the time about, hey, Dr. Biddle, why don't all these smart scientists just believe in creation and the Bible's account for the flood and everything? And I say, well, look, the Bible's very clear that 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 says the God of this world has blinded the eyes of the unbelievers so they cannot see the truth of the light of the gospel. And I think that's very, very true, that the God of this world has blinded people so that they can't see the truth. In fact, I try when I'm asked as a guest to go speak at secular universities, I say, look, you guys, I can disprove the theory of evolution in just 1 minute. And I pull up a garbage can and I say, look, I could pour mud and chemicals and organic matter and electricity into this garbage can and stir it for 4.5 billion years, and something as complex as the human hearing system will never come out of it and will never evolve from it. Because if you just look at the human hearing system, you have 5 different mechanical motors. You've got a sonar system and a hydraulic system and a chemical system and a mechanical system. All these things have to be bolted together in a certain order for the hearing system to work, so that when someone pushes around air molecules throughout the air, they're trapped by their outer sonar capturing design of your outer ear, which is called your pinna, and then it goes and triggers your little tympanic membrane or your eardrum, which wiggles 3 little tiny bones, which is upsamples it by a factor of 1.6, and it goes into a hydraulic system in your cochlea, which upsamples the sound signal again by a factor of 22 times more, and then it goes down to a little nerve that's wrapped around a part of your brain, so what's heard as speech is understood as communication. You can't do that through evolution. Evolution could never do that. Randomness could never do that. So Romans 1 is very clear that God has made it plain to everyone that he's the creator through what he has made. But they will become willingly ignorant. They're going to deny that God is the creator. And then from that, they're going to cascade society downhill. And that's exactly what we're seeing going on today. So that's the spiritual theological answer to your question. Now, some people have come to amazing breakthroughs and epiphanies. For example, when many scientists started discovering the soft tissue in dinosaur bones, the most obvious shift that they should have made to their perspective is, well, maybe these bones really aren't that old. If they're not just hardened, permineralized rocks, and they really still all are bones that have been preserved in the mud, and they actually still have soft tissues in them, the most reasonable, logical conclusion would be they're not millions of years old. But they're withheld from drawing that conclusion because they're persuaded by a worldview, and that worldview needs there not to be a god because they don't want to be held accountable to a god. So I would say we're mostly dealing here with a spiritual theological issue and not one of science or of evidence.
Yeah, I remember seeing somewhere on television, an interview, I believe it was an interview, where a female paleontologist had discovered a lot of flesh on dinosaur bones, and she was being vilified for being a fraud. Do you remember that?
I do. It was Dr. Mary Schweitzer, and it's interesting because if you go back through this evidence and through when she started making those discoveries in the mid-2000s, a lot of what came out during those discoveries has actually been scrubbed from the internet. And wow. I'm not a conspiracy guy at all, but there are things like, for example, when you look at her original finding in Science magazine, well, when it was printed in hard copy, there was a caption right underneath her picture where she's talking about, they call it Schweitzer's dangerous discovery. So why would her discovery of soft tissue be dangerous? Well, it is. And that title's still there today. But when you go to look at the caption under the image, the caption's gone. What used to be under the caption was a whole small little paragraph that said Mary Schweitzer was having a difficult time publishing her findings of dinosaur soft tissue in this journal article, and she was declined to publish the journal article by one of the reviewers. And the reviewer says, "You're out to lunch, Mary. This stuff can't be in there. We all know that dinosaur bones are rocks. It can't have soft tissue in them. You're crazy," basically. But what Mary writes down is she says, well, I asked this reviewer when he said he would not publish my findings. She asked him, well, what kind of evidence would convince you? To which he replied, none.
Wow.
So what that says is it shows a complete dedication to a worldview. And like I said earlier, about 100% of secular trained paleontologists 50 years ago would all say that dinosaur bones are just rocks. But now 100% of paleontologists can't say that. They have to say many bones are still hydroxyapatite. They're still bone mineral because they have soft tissues in them, and they're finding bone mineral, you know, original bone material all over the place.
Now, how
could you? Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, how has this discovery by Miss or Mrs. Schweitzer herself changed her view, if at all, about the age of dinosaurs?
You know, I don't know Mary. I do. I have heard, and I believe I've also read that she is an old Earth Christian. So I haven't met her personally, but apparently, if she has made these discoveries and she genuinely has, and she's a great scientist, very thoroughly trained, and very complete and very professional, it appears, but she still maintains her old Earth belief. So similarly, she has an allegiance to that perspective, regardless of what the more sensible conclusion would be. The more sensible conclusion is that these bones are not that old, but they're unwilling to do that because they want to hold to their idea of millions of years. So I also understand that Mary used to be a creationist, but then when she went through her program, apparently she changed. But I believe she claims to be an old Earth creationist.
When you say she used to be a creationist, do you mean she renounced it and then became one again? Is that what you mean?
What I mean is I think when she I've read something that when she started out school, she was a creationist, like a young Earth creationist, and then she converted to an old Earth creationist, a position which she allegedly maintains to this day. Now, I'd have to go back and vet that out. It's been a while since I looked at Mary's background. I'm very familiar with her findings and her studies, but her personal life, I haven't met her yet. Hopefully I will someday, but she's her perspectives and her findings have really been tossed around by different creationists, sometimes in unprofessional ways and sometimes in professional ways. So I try not to throw her or her perspectives under the bus. I'm sure she's a well-meaning professional and maybe Christian. I don't know, but I do know that her findings scream young earth creationism is true.
Yes, and what you just described, the refusal of the of her scientific colleagues to recognize what she had discovered, there you have a crystal clear example of so-called secular science doing exactly what they accuse Christians of doing, that is importing our religion into science and viewing everything through those presuppositions and lenses. They're doing the same thing. They don't want to call it a religion, but human secularism, humanist secularism, is a religion. It's a worldview, and they are doing that very thing. They are taking that presupposition of facts that they think are already in existence, and then they interpret everything else according to that.
You're exactly right. In fact, one of the leading paleontologists in the world, Jack Horner, was really ambushed by Bob Enyart, a creationist who ran a radio show, and asked on live radio, if we give you $1,000, will you send in parts of the B-Rex skeleton, a large T-Rex skeleton that they discovered, for collagen testing and carbon-14 testing? And he said no, and kind of hemmed and hawed. He says, what about $10,000? And he just kept going up and up and up and up. And he's like, look, what's the harm if you send this bone in for carbon-14 testing or collagen testing? If it's really millions of years old, you have nothing to worry about. But he still wouldn't do it. And it's ultimately because they're afraid of the results. I mean, I sit on an international committee of carbon-14 dating experts and researchers, and none of us are afraid of the carbon-14 results that we're getting back from organic bone and materials from materials all over the world. These are people who actually operate accelerator mass spectrometer machines. So we're not afraid of the dating. I think the evidence comports to a young Earth. There's some anomalies. There's some challenges that young Earth creationists have and old Earth creationists and secular people have. But eventually, everyone's going to see, you know, in this life or in the next, that the Bible is real about creation and it's true in all it claims.
Well, let me go to another listener question. We have Greg. And I don't know how to pronounce this city, but it's either Umatilla or Umatilla or Umatilla or Umatilla. I'm not really sure. Umatilla, Florida. Greg says, being that you have written about the flood, what do you understand the Nephilim to be, and what sort of role did they play into why the world was flooded?
Yes, the Nephilim topic is a fun one, and I hold to a conservative but non-sensational view about the Nephilim. There's three different perspectives on the Nephilim. Our ministry holds to the hybrid perspective, which is the same as the perspective held by Dr. Tim Chafee of Answers to Genesis, who wrote the only book on the Nephilim that we refer people to. I believe it's called Fallen, the Sons of God. He's got two different editions out. But that would, the perspective holds that the B'nai Elohim, the sons of God, or the angels, looked upon the daughters of men and had physical relations with them and produced the offspring, which is the Nephilim, because the word Nephilim is only used twice in the Old Testament, in Numbers 13 and in Genesis 6:4. And it very clearly, theologically and scripturally, means that the angels had relations with men and then, or with women, and had the offspring, which was the Nephilim. And the Nephilim, destroying the Nephilim, was partially the driving reason behind the flood. If you look at the passage, it's very clear that all flesh on earth had corrupted itself. It's talking about the giant topic, but it's mostly talking about the evil of humanity, and that those are the reasons that God sent the flood. But the giants and the Nephilim were part of the reason that God sent the flood. And of course, there was a re-incursion of the Nephilim theme that happened after the flood as well. So that would be our perspective. But I would also warn your listeners that if you go on YouTube or Google, there's a lot of mythology, a lot of sensationalism around the Nephilim topic. But I believe that even though there's a lot of extra biblical books like the Book of Giants, the Book of Enoch, the Book of Jasher, and other ones that have questionable veracity, they all talk about the giants and the Nephilim. I would argue just from scripture alone, there's enough passages in the Bible, there's over 20 of them, that deal with the Nephilim or the topic of the giants. And I would say that God's revealed all he really wants us to know about that topic in the pages of ordained, authorized scripture alone. We don't have to go outside of scripture to learn about that topic. We've got King Ur's bed that was over 20 feet long. We've got David and all of his fighting men going after tribes of these of the Nephilim and their descendants. There's lots of passages of scripture that talk about the Nephilim. So that would be the position that we hold on it.
Thank you, Greg. You've also won a free copy of the book that we have been discussing today, The Ark in the Darkness. And please make sure we have your full mailing address in Florida so that Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, cvbbs.com, can ship that book out to you. Let's see here. We have Gabriella in Coralville, Iowa. And Gabriella says, I have often heard old earthers boast about the insignificant number of young earth scientists, especially geologists and paleontologists. But couldn't a reason for that be one of fear that they would lose their livelihoods and become laughingstocks in their field?
I have a strong opinion about that, and I think it's a good opinion. I probably have opinions that I'm not so strong about, but I do have a strong opinion about this one, and I think it has nothing to do. I think it has something to do with what she said about how the pride and the credibility associated with believing in old ages and not being a young earth creationist. But I'll say this. I was at the Dinosaur Provincial Park in Canada with my daughter and son several years ago, looking at a 30-foot hadrosaur dinosaur that was right there in situ. They left it right when they found it. It was surrounded by plexiglass. And there was a guy there and his son pressed the play button so that the museum audio could explain how this creature got here. And the audio system said, well, millions of years ago, there was a river and the river got flooded and the river flooded its banks. And then this creature decided to swim to try to make it across the river. Then it drowned. Then another one got behind it and it tried to swim across and it drowned. And my daughter had her wake up moment right there in front of this dad and his son, where she said, Dad, that's a crazy explanation. I'm looking out of this 14-mile expanse, and there's dead dinosaurs all over the place, and they're garbled up and buried with marine life. There's no way some local flood could have done this. It was a huge event because you got 14 miles, and these creatures are buried under 50 to 100 feet of mud, and she went off and had her epiphany. And the whole time this dad was listening curiously to what my daughter was saying, because her light bulb turned on, and right in front of this guy as a spectator, she had a 5-minute rant about how the flood made way more sense of how this dead dinosaur got buried in mud, along with 14 miles of other dinosaurs, with Noah's flood being a better explanation than millions of years or a local flood. So the dad heard the whole thing. It was a hot day. We walked back to the museum. My daughter went off to get an ice cream, and here walking across the parking lot comes this dad. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I don't want to argue with this guy. He's going to give me a lecture about how I raised my son and daughter under creationism. But he came up to me and he was very respectful. And he said, sir, I just wanted you to know that I'm a licensed geologist. And years ago, I ditched my Christian faith because of the millions of years that I knew didn't fit the biblical timeline. And I was trained in geology and millions of years in the strata and everything being really old. And he says, but in 5 minutes after hearing your daughter, I have completely changed my mind.
Wow.
And I'm going back to church.
Wow.
And I wish I could have recorded what my daughter said. But brother, here's my point. When I can corner someone and have them for lunch for a half an hour, or my daughter can take this guy for 5 minutes, and you really sit down and God takes the scales off of your eyes and you present this evidence, there's really no other conclusion to be had other than young earth creationism. It is the only lens you can put on that makes sense or frames the data in a perspective in a way that's better matching to reality and to the data than old earth ideas are. And so I would say it's really lack of knowledge. The Bible says my people fail, you know, perish for lack of knowledge. I really don't think there's enough people out there like Ralph Strand, the director of our movie, and myself and other ministries like Answers in Genesis and ICR and others. I just don't think there's enough of us out there being truthers of this information and getting the information out. Because when it comes out and people have an honest, humble, willing heart, they will convert. But people's hearts are hardened and the information is not out there. The number one post, we're spending tens of thousands of dollars right now on Facebook promoting our movie that's going to come out to theaters on March 20th and 21st, tens of thousands of dollars on Facebook. And the number one leading response comment on all of our Facebook social media marketing is this. What are you doing with dinosaurs in your movie thumbnail picture? Because we show a T-Rex drowning right next to the Ark. And they're like, you guys are stupid. You're showing a dinosaur drowning right next to Noah's Ark. Don't you know those two things were separated by millions of years? And the number two response is from Christians saying dinosaurs aren't real.
Wow.
Can you believe it? So the world has so duped people in our faith that they're either believing millions of years or they're thinking dinosaurs are a fabrication of some government lie. And those two things are really a thing. So we're getting it out there, and our movie will eventually be seen by millions of people. So we just need more people like us out there getting the truth known so people can convert.
Now, how significant is the number of Christians who don't believe dinosaurs ever existed?
You know, I honestly thought it was maybe 1% or 2%. I'd never met someone in person. But, brother, I got to say, there's dozens and dozens of comments from people all over America that are either saying they never existed, or they existed millions of years ago, or they were invented by the government to get us to believe in evolution, which is ludicrous. You can go to just go to Montana and look at the countless dinosaurs. You can go excavate the bones themselves. It's scary. It's kind of like the flat earth thing. Many people are going that way, but observational science and real data contradicts those worldviews. Christians should not be afraid of evidence or observational science or what the scientific method can truly produce. But it is it's a prevalent view with more people than you would think either believing millions of years or that dinosaurs never existed.
Don't they think that it is compelling because of the God-breathed descriptions of the behemoth and the leviathan in the Old Testament that these were dinosaurs?
You know, therein lies the good news, is because people say to me all the time, dinosaurs aren't in the Bible. And I say, yes, they are. Turn to Job chapter 40 and 41. In fact, in Job 40, this gets a little bit personal because, listen, God said in Job chapter 40, consider Behemoth, which is the chief of all of my ways. And then I would say, God continues with the rest of that chapter boasting about his work, because he should and he can. He makes this amazing behemoth creature and he says, look, no one can surprise it. It's got a tail that sways like a cedar tree. Its bones are like tubes of bronze, and no one but its maker can even get near the thing. And God says, it's the chief of all my ways. In other words, the largest, grandest terrestrial being God ever made. And we are discovering these things in all the dirt layers that are 122 feet long and weigh 70 tons. So, of course, dinosaurs existed. And then you got the next chapter, chapter 41, Leviathan, which is most likely a Dinosuchus, a large super croc creature for which we have the fossils to this day. So, yes, God does describe two different, at least two species of dinosaurs very descriptively. Then he also talks about them generally, about like the beasts of the field. So Christians just need to be educated about these things.
Okay. We have, let's see, I was just look. Oh, Tomasita in Pearl City, Hawaii. Tomasita says, I remember hearing a Chris Arnzen interview on Iron Sharpens Iron with another young earth creationist. And when Chris Arnzen brought up the fact that he viewed crocodiles and turtles as being living dinosaurs, and they are often even referred to that to them as that in secular scientific documentaries. But the guest, I don't remember what his name was, said that they're not dinosaurs because of their leg structures and that they crawl on their stomachs and not upright like a horse. Is that a required distinction to make something a dinosaur?
You know, there are hip features about dinosaurs that break them into two different categories. And for those reasons, yes, like a turtle wouldn't be classically defined as in the dinosaur family. However, if you look at turtles, they do exist throughout the fossil record. And so that's what evolutionists would say by, oh, they're dinosaurian because they lived at the time of dinosaurs. But did you know that as far as you go back, in 100% of all of the turtle fossils ever found, and I can say this emphatically, Dr. Carl Werner, evidence of author of The Great Experiment, went to over 60 museums worldwide and photographed all these different pictures of seals and turtles and everything else. You know, 100% of all the turtle fossils ever discovered always look like turtles. They've never found any form of a pre-turtle or a turtle hybrid. They always look just like turtles. So, creationists also believe, as do secularists, that, well, at least with respect to before the flood, Christians believe that these creatures like turtles would continually grow until they die. And today we have many old sea turtles that are 300 plus years old. You know, I went to a museum once that had a large turtle in it. It was one of the two largest turtles that have ever been discovered. It was bigger than a car, over a 10-foot circumference, huge, huge turtle. And I'm staring there looking at this going, okay, well, I know this was found in the Cretaceous. It was buried in flood layers. And I know these creatures would live as long as they were alive, especially before the flood. And this is the largest, you know, one of the two largest ones that's ever been found. And so I'm staring at this turtle in a museum, and I thought, you know what? God might have graced me right now in this situation with viewing turtle serial number one. Because they've discovered lots of turtles, and turtles always grow as long as they did, this could have been the turtle that was almost 2,000 years old and died during the flood. It could have been the very first one that God breathed out of that body plan. Isn't that amazing, the blessings that you can experience by living through a creationist worldview compared to adopting the world's worldview?
Yes, amen. And going back to that question, which I do remember that conversation. I can't remember who the guest was either. But is one of the compelling reasons why old earthers and secular scientists believe that dinosaurs could not have existed more recently in history is just because of their size? I mean, I'm not really sure why anyone would say that this is an impossibility. I mean, something that large can be easily more easily hunted, because it's harder for it to hide. But anyway, I don't even understand, you know, why this would be discounted as an absolute, even scientifically.
Well, it's not necessarily an absolute. However, I do personally believe that there are pre-flood creatures that lived and thrived before the flood that would have lived much better before the flood than live now. For example, we have mushrooms that grew 20 feet tall before the flood, and centipedes that would be 8 feet long. We have dragonflies that had 2.5 foot wingspans that probably wouldn't have been able to fly very well in today's Earth climate. We have pterosaurs with 53-foot wingspans, Quetzalcoatlus with a 600-pound body that probably couldn't have flown very well in today's Earth atmosphere. And the behemoth creature, again, over 70 tons, over 120 feet long, huge sauropod dinosaurs. Well, there's something wrong with these in the body plan that in today's Earth climate, because their nostrils are only twice as large as modern day horses. So how in the world, and evolutionists have even struggled. I've got quotes from evolutionists saying you'd have a really hard time in today's Earth atmosphere getting enough O2 in that creature. How in the world are you going to get enough oxygen into 70,000 pounds of dinosaur with a nasal passages that are twice the size of a modern day horse in a creature that's 120 feet long? So yeah, there's a lot of creatures that probably couldn't have thrived, that were not thriving very well after the flood, hence why a lot of them went extinct in addition to hunting and things like that after the flood.
Well, we're going to our final break right now. And by the way, Tomasita in Pearl City, Hawaii, you've also won a free copy of the book, The Ark in the Darkness, by my guest today. So please make sure you give us your full mailing address in Pearl City, Hawaii, so that Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service, CVBBS.com, can ship that book out to you. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
Welcome back, folks. I don't want you to ever forget that a key sponsor of this program is Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law. If you are the victim of a serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, please call Dan Buttafuoco at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit his website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please always mention that you heard about Buttafuoco and Associates from Chris Arnzen at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, folks, I want to remind you once again that this Friday at 7 p.m. at the Coral House Catering Hall in Baldwin, Long Island, New York, I am going to be emceeing the fundraising gala for Grace Christian Academy of Long Island again. And the keynote speaker is renowned educator and author, Dr. Ernie Zara. And I hope as many of you in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listening audience as possible will attend that, especially if you live in or near Long Island. If you would like more details on registering for this gala, which is this Friday, 7 p.m. at the Coral House Catering Hall in Baldwin, Long Island, go to the website for Grace Christian Academy of Long Island at gcali.com, gcali.com/gala, G-A-L-A. That's gcali.com/gala. Last but not least, if you are a man in ministry leadership, you are invited to the next free biannual Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon, featuring for the very first time ever Dr. Joel Beakey, founder and president of Puritan Reform Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan. This is going to be held Thursday, June the 6th at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, which is Perry County, Pennsylvania. Everything is free of charge, including the fact that everyone who attends will get a very heavy sack of brand new books personally selected by me and donated by generous Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom, absolutely free. Everything is always free. The way my precious late wife, Julie, who started these pastor's luncheons in the 1990s, insisted they be. Everything is free. If you'd like to register, send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put pastor's luncheon in the subject line. And let's see here. We have a question for you, Dr. Biddles, from, I was just looking at the question and I seem to have misplaced it. Oh, Laura in Stephen or Stephen, Minnesota. It's spelt with the PH. Could be either way, I guess. Laura in Stephen, Minnesota says, very often I have heard atheists and agnostics and scientists who are not Christian mock the idea of things like Noah's Ark and other stories from the Old Testament, because they will claim that Christians have just borrowed these stories from the stories that are prevalent in other cultures and religions, and that would include the story of Noah's Ark. How do you respond to that? Yeah, that's interesting, because doesn't it actually, in many ways, add to the credibility of it actually being a historic event when people all over the world have stories about a global flood?
It does. It certainly does. So let me answer that question in two different ways. First, biblically, and then secondly, just with some overall evidence. I think it's fascinating to me that what she just said is proof of, that the Bible foretells the future. It's just the most amazing thing, because she says, she noted that, isn't it interesting how people are scoffing today and making fun of the biblical account of the flood? And did you know that those people, all they're doing is fulfilling scripture? They're fulfilling prophecy that was issued by Peter over 2,000 years ago in his second book, third chapter, where he says, above all, know this. So Peter says, look, above everything else I'm telling you guys, just remember this one thing, that in the last days, scoffers will come scoffing, saying, where is this coming that Jesus has promised? For they're going to be willingly ignorant. They're going to deny on purpose two things, creation and the flood. So that's a summary of 2 Peter 3, verses 3 through 7. Where, again, Peter says, look, above everything else, just remember, in the last days, these scoffers are going to come, and they're going to deny three things: the second coming of Christ, creation out of nothing, and the world was deluged by a flood. And did you know that's exactly what is happening today? We are the laughing stock of secular TV shows and comedians, where they all like to make fun of Noah's flood and all like to make fun of the ark. So first of all, I would say that they're fulfilling prophecy. The second thing I would say is the most compelling thing I've heard. This is from Dr. Randall Price, a professor over at Liberty University, who's exhaustively has studied the flood account and all these other historical accounts. Is, did you know that there's not one, not two, but five different ancient Near Eastern myths or tablets of ancient flood accounts? We've got these things written on cuneiform. We've got the Enuma Elish. We've got the Epic of Gilgamesh. There's several different flood accounts. But the most amazing thing is that all five of these ancient Near Eastern myth flood accounts, they're all ripoffs. They're all echoes from the original Genesis account. And you can really evidence this by two different things. The first is that if you take the core eight elements of the flood, like there's going to be a god or gods that's going to be angry, who's going to send the flood. There's going to be sacrifices afterwards. He's going to send a bird out. It's going to be one man and his family. He's going to gather all the animals. God's going to tell him how to make the ship. All these common themes, these five different ancient Near Eastern accounts, they all have the same major flood themes that are in the Genesis account. There's just one problem for them. All the other accounts are totally unfeasible. The biblical account is feasible, because if you look at the Epic of Gilgamesh arc, it was a square with six stories in it. And we all know that a square-shaped ship that was allegedly built in just 7 days, according to the Epic of Gilgamesh, would just rotate around at sea and everything would die. It's not going to be very seaworthy. You have other ancient Near Eastern ark accounts that say, well, God says to build the ark like a circle. Well, that's not going to work very good either. But the other thing to consider with respect to these other five ancient mythical accounts is that if you look through history, historians will tell you this really good, keen insight, is that myths will always tend to get more mythical over time. They're never going to get more conservative and more historical. They always get amplified and exaggerated and pumped up, and they're going to get more and more mythical, but they're not going to get more conservative and more historical. And you know that's exactly what we have here with the flood. So we've got five different accounts from ancient Near Eastern mythology that all are allegories, and they're all based upon the real flood account, and they're all more exaggerated than the real flood account. But only the Bible's account is real history. You've got a 371-day diary. from a guy who was there present throughout the flood. You've got an ark that has dimensions that are modeled by ships that are out in the oceans today. And you've got something that's very feasible that could have happened. But all these other stories are clearly myths. If you just look them on face value, they're clearly very mythical. Only the biblical account is the real one.
Well, we're out of time, and I want to make sure our audience has your website, GenesisApologetics.com. GenesisApologetics.com. Where can they find out about if the movie that we have been discussing, The Ark in the Darkness, if it's playing near them?
Yeah, they can just go to the movie website, which is noahsflood.com, and click on Get Tickets Now. Then you'll be brought to a website where you go to the bottom right and click on Buy Tickets, and then it will show you the theaters and showtimes near you after you put in your city or your zip code. So just go to noahsflood.com.
Well, I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.